Am I clear? Because if people can be hungry, they need something. And consequently, question, can it be a mortal sin to steal not too much money from a very poor person? Yes. The circumstances, the amount, can determine the gravity of the sin. Now the confession. We've just about finished, except to say this. Over the years, in teaching and counseling religious, I go to confession frequently. My recommendation is, whatever they want to do is up to them. But say the 2, 3, maybe 4 venial sins which they remember, to confess those, even though we may know there are other venial sins I may have committed. It's also well to make an examination of conscience just before going to confession. Otherwise, it can be routine. And remember, all the sacraments give grace just because they are validly received, but the amount of grace depends on our dispositions. And consequently, to spend some time in examining one's conscience helps to obtain more grace from the sacrament when the absolution is received. Next is imposing satisfaction by the priest. That, as we know, is a divine law. Now, our custom in the church today is to give a light penance for venial sins and a heavier penance for mortal sins. And that penance to be performed is binding under sin. I don't say mortal sin unless a person would deliberately just refuse, I won't say my penance. I think I mentioned this. If you forget what the priest, what penance he imposed, if you know the priest's custom, then just say what you know he customarily gives, or what penance you'd receive from priests in the past. However, and this imposing satisfaction, sisters, let's be very, very clear. It's one thing for me to talk, use words, and you patiently to listen. And I appreciate it. And God is pleased. But we are sinners. And consequently, we should ourselves impose some penance beyond what we are told to do. And the penance can be physical, for example, matter of food or drink. It can also be interior, mortifying my mind, not reading things which I may legitimately read, but say I would enjoy, so I give up. Then the absolution. Contrition. Now, as I'm sure you know, customs differ. I just want to tell you the way I have been trained and the way I train priests. I always tell priests, always tell them to, when you hear the person's confession, then maybe a sentence or two, a short paragraph of instruction, and try to adjust your counsel to what the person has confessed. Not just in general, something specific having to do with the niche of the sins confessed. But then, for the contrition, I repeat, I have never in my life taught a priest. I've taught over 600 of my own Jesuit priests and hundreds of others. I have never taught priests to hear confessions without telling them, always, always tell the penitent, now make your act of contrition. Always. And in making the act of contrition, the priest then, and this is a priest's directives, the priest should then listen and hear out the contrition. And consequently, in making the contrition, if and as you realize, contritions can be, well, can either be out loud or in silence. They can be in the language which the priest understands or in another language. However, the priest should know when, first of all, whether, secondly, when the penitent has finished his or her contrition. Am I clear? And hear it. One reason why this is the way the church tells us to train priests, because strictly speaking, the contrition could be made before going to confession. Could be. It should be the act of contrition during the confession. The first value is that then the priest is sure the penitent has made his or her contrition. And sisters, that is not unimportant. But secondly, the contrition should not be just, you might say, general. I am sorry. I'm a sinner. And the priest might say, well, who isn't? They're all sinners. If the contrition is made after the confession, then the focus of the contrition is or should be on what I've confessed. Am I clear? And hear it. Oh, how important this is.